This webcast is made possible in part by support from the listener members of the Classical Network, WWFM and WWFM.org. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Sounds Choral. This is James Jordan from Westminster Choir College, and it's my privilege today to visit with one of my favorite choral composers, Jackson Hill.
I want to just welcome you all to a conversation. I'm here in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania, with composer Jackson Hill. And so for Sounds Choral today, we're going to visit with Jackson Hill. We're going to talk about some of his music. So welcome, Jack. So tell us about yourself to the people who probably don't know you. I think everybody should know Jackson Hill.
Well, I've been writing music for a very long time. Yeah. I'm in my 10th year of retirement from teaching. So I was very, very lucky when I retired. I had 6 commissions stacked up. And I've been doing about 4 a year until a couple of years ago, and then I've been sort of coasting a little bit. I have maybe 1 or 2 projects a year that I do, and I'm in the middle of a project now for a group in England that I'm working on that is to be premiered in about 6 weeks' time. So I'm in the middle of it. I'll meet the deadline, but just barely.
So for the listeners, could you give them a little information on your background, education, your teaching career here at Bucknell, just an overview?
I grew up in North Carolina, went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill for my undergraduate degree, and I did what basically nowadays would be probably considered a double major in music and history. But from that point, from the time of my graduation in 1963, I really wanted to go back to something that I had done a lot earlier, which was simply do as much composing as I could. So I started writing again, and started in a master's degree in musicology, which I almost got finished with, until I decided to make some other plans and really focus on composition and change my degree to a composition degree rather than a musicology degree. But there were some complications that came along, and I wound up actually staying in musicology to get a PhD, which I did there at University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. And I did my dissertation on 20th century Dutch 12-tone music, which was the first 20th century dissertation that had been done in musicology at Chapel Hill. So that was a kind of groundbreaking dissertation for them to have, because they were so historically focused, to have a 20th century dissertation, particularly one on serial music, was a bit of a shock for some of the people in residence there. But anyway, from that point on, I was doing more composing than anything. And I wrote. I began to apply for jobs because it was the time to be looking for jobs, and I wound up coming to Bucknell, which was an ideal place for me because I got to do several things that I really wanted to do. It was a liberal arts college, essentially, which meant that you could branch out and do a variety of things. So for 10 years, I conducted the orchestra. Taught composition, taught music history, taught music appreciation, and didn't do very much playing, but I was doing a good bit of reading, writing, composing, teaching, and had a wonderful time doing it. And Lewisburg, Pennsylvania was a great place to live and a great place to have a family. And so that was where that was simply going in terms of its trajectory until 1977. I had the opportunity to apply for a Fulbright Fellowship to work in Japan. So I applied for the Fulbright Fellowship and spent a summer working, doing research in Japanese Buddhist chant, mostly around a monastery in Kyoto called the Chishakuin, and found myself becoming a kind of instant expert in that particular repertoire, since it wasn't widely known in the West. It was a genre of Japanese music that wasn't widely known. So I came back and did a lot of writing in terms of papers, American Musicological Society, Society of Ethnomusicology, on Japanese esoteric Buddhist chant. Finding the music just extremely beautiful, it moved me very deeply, and I found that that was becoming part of the palate of my ear, and that I was writing music that was beginning to have some of these ideas infiltrate, the particular notions about using the pentatonic scale not only melodically but also harmonically, suspending time in mid-air, the way that a lot of music for the Buddhist ritual music and music of the imperial court, shakuhachi music, seems to hover in mid-air. That appealed to me very much. Plus, just simply the general sound world just got into my ear. So it began to infiltrate what I was writing, and irrespective of the genre that I might be working in, and I've really written for all kinds of forces, quite a bit of solo music, piano music, music for solo voice, music for vocal ensemble, music for choir, music for orchestra, music for string quartet. I found that the Japanese elements were creeping in really into all of my music, irrespective of what genre I might be working in at that time. So that was a real turnabout for me around 1977. From that point on, I would say that the two most important stylistic influences in my writing have been Japanese traditional music and Renaissance polyphony.
The pieces I remember, for the listeners, Jack and I have known each other many years. I started my teaching career in Lewisburg, Pennsylvania. And actually, my career started across the street here in the First Baptist Church. I don't think I ever told you this, but the first Sunday I was there, I think it was Martha Zeller came up to me and said, no, it was Ben Williford. Ben came up to me and he says, you need to know Jackson Hill's music. And he handed me, I don't remember the motet, but it was in a neo-Renaissance style. And that was my first association with you. And in fact, we did several pieces of yours while I was an undergraduate here in the Baptist Church. I mean, kind of meeting of the worlds. And then the other thing that I think people need to know is that Bucknell was a well-kept secret for so many years in terms of the composition people that were here, because you and Bill Duckworth were here at the same time. And here are two, what I consider to be, now in hindsight, we can always look back, but two major composers at this liberal arts college doing pretty incredible stuff. Not widely known, but certainly being innovative and pushing boundaries. I can remember everybody from Dan Pinkham coming here to John Cage coming for visits, etc., etc. For a young choral conductor, it was eye-opening, although I must say that I was oblivious to it all because I was busy doing my thing. But years later, here we are. So the subject of the program, I want us to explore all of these Japanese seasons pieces, Jack, because one of them was composed for the inaugural concert of Williamson Voices. I revisited these pieces and realized, at least from my opinion, what frankly great pieces they are. So I think for the listeners, let's go one by one so they can hear them in the broadcast. Right. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the first one. And if you would...
I mean, chronologically speaking?
Yes, yeah.
Well, the very first one that I wrote, I actually wrote in 1985. I had begun, well, actually much earlier than that, I started studying Japanese language and got very interested in medieval Japanese poetry. So all five of these particular compositions are based upon medieval Japanese poetry from the anthology that's called the Manyoshu. They tend to be largely descriptive of nature or about love, and the ones that appealed to me the most were the ones that were about the changing seasons. I found that just the way the seasons were described was so evocative. And so visual. I found the visual imagery in the poems to be very striking. So actually the first one I did just simply was off the cuff. I just wanted to write something setting this particular text, and this is the one that was about autumn. The very first performance was done by the college choir at Bowdoin College, and it sat around on the shelf for a very long time. It happened to be at a Chanticleer concert. They happened to mention on the stage that they were due for a trip to Japan soon. And so I spoke to them afterwards, and I said, well, I've got a piece with a Japanese text. It might be of interest to you. So I sent it to Joe Jennings, and didn't hear anything from him for quite a long time. And then it was maybe 2 years later, there was a call came from me and said, by the way, we're performing your your autumn piece here in San Francisco Tuesday night, he said, something like that. So I was astonished, but, you know, bread on the waters sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so they performed it and gave it a lot of performances, and then I had another call from them about a couple of years later asking, they said they would really like me to write a companion piece to that piece. And so I began to search for a text and found another piece that was based on the changing season, and that was when I wrote the piece called In Winter's Keeping. So that was the second of the pieces. Then I began to see that there's a pattern here. I did autumn, I did winter. Well, how about looking at the other seasons?
Well, let's stop and let the listener kind of get acclimated. So why don't we let them listen to those two pieces? So could you announce them again? And then we'll play them one right after the other, Jack.
Right. Okay, the first one would be Voices of Autumn, or Aki no Koe, as it is in Japanese. And it's to a Japanese text. I mean, the singers sing in Japanese. And this one is a performance by Chanticleer. They were the ones who picked it up and gave it over 150 performances. They were amazing in the way that they... fell in love with this piece, and I was just very gratified by their association with that particular piece. So that was actually written in 1985. And then the second piece is the winter piece, which is called In Winter's Keeping, and I wrote that in 2001. And that was on commission from Chanticleer. And they have recorded both of those pieces as part of their great archive of recordings.
Well, let's allow our listeners to give each of those pieces a listen.
Thank you.
We're moving on, so what should we listen to next?
The next one that I did was When Spring is Born at Last, which was for the Williamson Voices, and that was done in 04. And that was, once again, I went back to the Manyoshu, found a beautiful poem about the changing seasons, and I was just very struck by it, and so that became the next one in the series. Then the next one in the series was the one called Summer Dreams that I did in 06, and that was done for the Lyric Consort, which is a group of chamber singers that are conducted by Alan Baker, who work out of the southern tier New York State area. And they tend to record in wonderfully resonant surroundings and have a wonderful clear sound. They did the commission for the piece called Summer Dreams, and that was done in 06.
Well, let's listen again now to When Spring is Born at Last. This recent recording on a CD called Silence into Light was just released several months ago, and we'll let our listeners listen to that first. I must comment, though, that my choir loved this piece. They kind of felt they owned it. It was a difficult piece to learn because it needs to be just so, but they loved it. And so let's first listen to When Spring is Born at Last, a new recording by the Westminster Williamson Voices, Silence into Light on the GIA Choral label.
Haru,
What's the next one?
Well, the next one, which is slightly out of order because I sketched it in 04. I decided to go to London. I had a weekend in which I had three performances in London in about 4 days, and decided to go to London because that's unusual for me to have that kind of exposure, and sort of in one little nutshell that way. And one of the performances was the first UK performance of the second Chanticleer piece. This was a concert given by Chanticleer in the Barbican in London, and they were doing In Winter's Keeping, and that was the first UK performance. And so Martha and I went over for that, and we were at that concert. And at the end of the concert, this young man came up to me afterwards and was going on about how much he liked In Winter's Keeping and asked me would I be interested in writing something similar for the King Singers. And I said, well, yes, I would. Of course, inside I was saying, yes. And so as of 04, I started sketching this piece for the King Singers, which actually wasn't finished, I think, until 06. I put it with the seasonal cycle because it does tie the seasons together. It doesn't have seasons in the title. It's called Remembered Love. But it does refer to the seasons of the year in the course of the poetry. So I think of that particular piece as, in a way, sort of tying up the cycle of the other four seasons that are represented by the seasonal cycle. So I consider that all five of those pieces are part of a cluster for me, if not a cycle, that I simply call Japan Seasons. And this is, in a way, the last one, although I began sketching it before I had actually finished the one called Summer Dreams. But it does, in a way, sort of tie the group together, referring to the seasons the way that it does.
Let's let our listeners listen to Remembered Love, performed by the King Singers.
Thank you.
That was Remembered Love by Jackson Hill, part of a series of pieces written on the Seasons. And it was Remembered Love performed by the King Singers. So let's change gears and close the program talking about this piece, Still in Remembrance, and a little bit about the Three Choirs Festival. Because was this written for the Three Choirs
Festival? It was. It was a commission from the Three Choirs Festival. For the people who don't know the Three Choirs Festival, they consider themselves to be the longest-running, continuous music festival in the Western world. There is a festival in Japan that dates from the 9th century. However, in the Western world, supposedly, the Three Choirs Festival is the longest continuous festival, having been established, they think, in 1715, and supposedly Handel conducted at the first festival. So anyway, it is the annual meeting of the three cathedral choirs from Hereford, Gloucester, and Worcester cathedrals. And in addition to the three cathedral choirs, they also have a festival chorus that performs large works like the B minor Mass or the Dream of Gerontius by Elgar or Elgar the Apostles or various oratorios in that tradition, Mendelssohn's Elijah, big orchestral choral works. But in any case, Martha and I were at the festival in 2009, and I was approached by Adrian Lucas, who was the director of the Worcester Cathedral Choir at that time, and he said that they were putting together a program for 2011 that would mark the 10th anniversary of the Twin Towers bombings, the terrorist attacks in 2001, 2011 marking the 10th anniversary. And he wanted an American composer to write a work for the three cathedral choirs. And so I spent a long time, I spent 6 months trying to find a text that I wanted to use. And I finally was able to cobble together a text that I really, really liked from passages from the Book of Jeremiah, the Revolution of St. John, and from William Blake. And I put this long sort of poem together and set it then for SSAATTBB for the three cathedral choirs. And it was performed at the Wednesday Evensong broadcast, BBC Radio 3 broadcast Evensong during the festival. And so that was the genesis of that piece, and it was premiered in August of 2011 to mark the 10th anniversary of the 2001 terrorist attack.
For listeners, as we close out the program, you're going to hear Still in Remembrance, done by the choirs of the Three Choirs Festival, the choirs of Worcester, Gloucester, and Hereford. Performed in 2011, this is a choral elegy. It's a live performance recording, correct? So it's not readily available, so it's a treat for all of you listening. And for all of you who are listening who would like to know more about Jackson Hill, I would direct you to his website, jacksonhillmusic.com. Jack, thanks for sitting down today.
Jim, thank you.
Great. Yep.
We close the program with Still in Remembrance, that was performed at the Three Choirs Festival, a piece composed by American composer Jackson Hill in commemoration of 9/11. Sounds Choral is produced at the studios of WWFM, the Classical Network. David Osenberg, producer. I'm your host, James Jordan from Westminster Choir College. You can listen to any recent Sounds Choral program by going to our website, wwfm.org, and clicking on Classical and Webcasts. You can also support programming like this with a donation in membership at our website. Thanks so much for listening. Sounds Choral is an exclusive production of the award-winning Classical Network and wwfm.org.